The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at Jerry Bo Knows, at Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can get on the Twitch channel. Comment there. Commodore Smurf's on there. Stu the Body. Space Ghost, who's always there. Appreciate you guys and everybody who listens. And if you missed the first hour, by the way, Jerry Bo filling in for AJ today. Just assumed you guys knew that because you were listening. But basically, the first hour, we spent 30 minutes on the events of the weekend. And if you want to hear our thoughts on that and our opinions, it's all right there. We then had Jake Kaplan from The Athletic on to talk about his story that he wrote about the famous Astros tombstone, which he interviewed me for, since that was my fault. And I also wrote a column for Sports Map that should pop any minute about how it all came to be. And then we talked a little bit about the SpaceX launch to end the hour. And you know what? You know, how about we get positive for the rest of the show? I mean, we've dug into the things we need to dig into. I feel like we've addressed them. I feel like we've had our say. Now, if the listeners want to have some more say, they can too. But how about we uplift it a little bit, man? Have some fun. What do you guys say?
I like it. I like it. I'm sure the station has dealt with it all throughout the day. I listened in on a few shows, and that's what the people wanted to talk. But again, if they want to talk about it, leave it open. But we want positive. We want answers. We want solutions as far as anything else. So let's move on, and let's give the people something what they want.
And somebody said, yeah, I saw the Epstein documentary. It was disgusting. The girl made thousands of dollars for finder's fee of these other girls, but somehow became a victim. And I think the problem with it, and more, this is more of a media perspective than an opinion on what the girls had to say. I think the producers wanted so much to highlight how they were victimized, which they were, no doubt. But they were all they went to the lawyers who were suing, so they got almost everything was from the lawyer playbook of how you were going to respond on the stand. And they used all the buzzwords. I was a child. I was a victim. And I mean, and they just kept hammering it. And I think it took away from it for me because I don't felt like I got honest interviews. There were a couple that were really good. There was an English chick who I thought was very good. And there was one other girl. But the others, they just repeated so much of the same stuff. I just felt like, you know what? I'm not getting an interview here. I'm getting a coached response. And, you know, and the thing, the Epstein stuff is terrible. I mean, it's just terrible. You don't need to. They didn't need to overdo that. They really didn't, and they focus quite a bit on, you know, it's obviously a horrible story, and it's fascinating what all was going on. But I wanted a little bit more of more about Sex Island, and you know, more about things like that. But it was especially when he was in Florida. Somehow there's 100,000 people in this town, and like five high schools, and the guys basically got agents in every high school. And a lawyer described it really well. It was a pyramid scheme of sexual predator of minors is basically what it was.
Oof.
I mean, it's worth watching. I just, if anybody else kind of gets the same vibe from the victim interviews, I'd be curious because I just thought they did too much of that and not enough of, and not tell more stories about what those girls that they interviewed actually did. And they talk about, oh, it was bad, it was bad, it was bad. But there's only one of them that says, oh, yeah, I said, I'm not going to do that, but I'll go get you a bunch of girls and you pay me for them. And then she starts talking about being a victim. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Not so fast there.
Let's slow down here.
Yeah. Hey, Earl wants to weigh in on the SpaceX launch. Let's get Earl. What's up, Earl?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm just super excited to see it. I had a little bit of a very small hand in the launch. My old company did the cryogenic valve that mixed the fuel for the first stage. So I was actually very worried about it, like you, Fred, thinking that, you know, what could possibly go wrong. But, yeah, it was just very exciting to see us go back to space. Really enjoyed it. It was a great thing, a positive thing with all the negative stuff going around. And just good to see us. I had recently gone down to the Cape to see some of the launch sites, and just happy for us to get back out there. You know, with the stuff with SpaceX, with Blue Origin, with United Launch, there's going to be more and more of this private/public JVs. And I think, sorry for the pun, but, you know, the sky's the limit for us, man. It's an exciting time for space travel. That's all I have, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I think it's really exciting. I thought the coverage did a nice job of explaining the marriage of public and private, and how that's going to take us into the next millennium, frankly, with our space travel. And I think it's cool that guys like, you know, I know he's gone a little weird on us, but I think it's cool that guys like Elon Musk started this company and has built this company up, and they're doing some really advanced stuff. Now, ancient astronaut theorists believe that it's because they stole technology from crashed alien crafts on the planet. But hey, whatever works, right?
What is cool about it is if you look at their age and you go back to the timeline, that is when the space program had some success and was a big deal. So what do you do if you're a rich guy? You go back to what you loved as a kid. I'm going to buy this, or I'm going to invest in this. And that's good that guys with big pockets are the ones behind these private companies.
C. Pennington says, poker tip from a beginner. If the tournament starts at 8, don't start drinking at 4. Yeah. That's
not wise, guys.
I had a pretty good run this weekend. And it was funny because we were going out with some friends. Forgot I'd signed up for the 100 at 7 o'clock. Oof, oof. And I get the notification on my phone that it's my turn to act. And I'm like, oh, bleep. So I sat there at the bar and played the tournament and won the tournament. And by the end, there were people standing over my shoulder to watch, so there was an audience. But it was a good run, man. It was a nice tournament, well played. The St. Will, I think, was the guy was heads up with, really good player. And then last night, and then I had a couple of good cash hits too. But last night, I get on the tournament, and I felt like I was playing really well. Like, I don't know, 10 minutes in, pocket deuces, 7-3 deuce flop, exactly what I want. We wind up getting it all in. He's got sevens. So I'm down like 200 chips. It's just one of those. You go, okay, you know, that's
set over set.
Yeah, good old set over set. And I'm going to lose with that every time. I've seen people be able to get off that. I don't know that there's not many. I can get off it if I see a flush or a straight on the board. I'm not going to drop it other than that. So I'm down to 200 chips. I managed to get it back to 1,000 at one point. But, you know, that was being hyper aggressive, and I think I shoved with ace queen into tens and lost, and that was that. But otherwise, I was looking it up now. So I've played since the Rona started, including our charity tournaments. I've played 14 tournaments. I have 3 wins in 2 seconds.
That's good.
So now I don't have any other caches. Like I didn't cash in those other charity tournaments.
What, 30% of the time? And tournaments are tough. Again, we always say you have to have that lucky hand. You have to have win a race, a pocket pair over two or two over cards. You're gonna have to win that race at least one time, sometimes twice. But tournaments and the longevity of them is what's hard to stay focused. Once you get past those few hours, if the money or the prize isn't worth it, focus is tough.
Getting back to the Epstein thing, 281 says Trump, Clinton, Chris Tucker, and Prince Albert also visited his house. Crazy stuff. I don't think there was. Now Clinton, I believe so. Chris Tucker was on a flight to Africa with him, along with Kevin Spacey and a couple other people. And the girl that was there basically said nothing happened on that trip. It was for something that Clinton was doing. But I don't know that those guys ever showed up on Sex Island. And I'm guessing Kevin Spacey's proclivities, that's probably not for him anyway.
You walk into hell, who's the pit boss, Epstein or Sandusky?
Oh.
Who's the pit boss in hell?
Wouldn't they both be underbosses to Hitler?
Oof.
I mean, I think that's kind of, I mean, we all assume Hitler is the godfather of hell, right?
I'd say Stalin.
Really?
He's responsible for way more death.
Hmm. I think we kind of forget about Stalin. We sort of give him a pass.
Everybody forgets about his head count. You look at his head count.
Once you start messing with these little kids,
yeah,
though,
but
man.
it's not just numbers, man. It's style points. I mean, Hitler had the Blitzkrieg. He had the Luftwaffe. Yeah, I think Hitler's the godfather of hell, and then those guys are underbosses. Stalin, maybe a competing godfather, not quite as big of a family. Yeah.
So, yeah, Hitler's Fertitta. He owns it. The pit boss would be Sandusky.
Yeah, Sandusky and I don't know who's worse. I guess I'm going to go with, I don't know. I'm going to go with, I think Sandusky's worse. I mean, they're both horrible human beings. But in both cases, they got away with it for so long. The whole Epstein thing, it was 2005 that they knew about all this, and all they could get him on was solicitation. And he made a deal with the government. And like I said, I didn't know who he was until, and they kept talking about what a big star he was. Like, I didn't know who he was until this all came out back in, 2017? And after that, he kept doing it. He was in prison, and they would let him out, and he would get on a helicopter and go do it again.
That's addiction.
That's just crazy.
That's a disease that man had.
Dude, I did like his girlfriend. Like, she sounded like a freak. If she hadn't have been into little kids, I'd really be into her. English chick. Ugh.
I'm gonna have to watch this.
I think you'll. I mean, it's fascinating. Just you know, don't get bogged down in the interviews too much, like I did, because it does distract you from it. All right, 713-780-ESPN's your number. So late hits with Braddock and Creighton tonight at 7. Patrick's going to step in a little early and do some radio with us. So just wanted to get him in here, say hello, see how he's doing, see how he liked the beer. I saw he cracked it last night. And we got Braddock back into poker, didn't we?
Oh, he's talked he's about back. It.
I was texting him all weekend. Black Skater said, not trying to be conspiracy theorist guy, but I think it's funny how the camera cut off when the stage one rocket landed on the ship. Yeah, I it was odd, but I do think if you go onto YouTube, they do have video of it. It just,
yeah, they had other cameras there.
Yeah,
that camera feed that went out.
The telecast, they didn't. Because I wanted to see that. Because I think that's cool as hell that the rocket just goes back and lands on the ship. And, I mean, I've seen video of it before. But, yeah, it sucked because, like, okay, here's it landing on the ship. And it's like, no, it's already there. I wanted to see it land. Nerd. I admit it. Quick break. It's a blitz on ESPN 975.
Somebody only close to get you.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 975. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. Jerry Bo filling in today. Doing a good job. 936 says, hosted both the Nugget and Coushatta, say no poker for a while. Wouldn't surprise me. And, people ask me, Jerry set up a club on Poker Bros. So if you're interested, just hit him up. There's a really good group of people on there. So if you're a dickweed, don't sign up.
We've had some, man. Unfortunately, we've had some. But shout out to everyone on there, though, man. Like you said, it's an escape. If you're looking for something to do, it's not necessarily about the money or anything. Of course, you don't want to lose any money, but it's more about the company that we keep each other. We're on there joking around. Like I said, I feel bad beating some of these people. But again, shout out to everyone on there. Hefe, Goldie, everyone out there. Thanks for playing all the time.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun and enjoyed playing with folks. I'm going to have to, somebody's asked me playing tonight. I don't know. I'm not going to play every night. But, I just do it night to night. Depends on what kind of mood I'm in. All right, let's go to Lance Zierlein, who is co-host of The Bench. Follow him on Twitter, at Lance Zierlein. And I actually mentioned Lance in my article for SportsMap that's going to hit sometime tonight about the famous tombstone, since it's the 15-year anniversary today. And I mentioned all the innovative stuff I did at the Chronicle, all the things that were so far ahead, including bringing on Lance Zierlein and doing fantasy football on the Z Report.
That's true.
And nobody remembers that. They just remember me as the Tombstone guy.
You wanted fantasy? You wanted MMA early on? I mean, you were way ahead.
Yeah, it's funny because like I brought you on and we started doing fantasy football and then it just evolved into scouting and all kinds of other stuff, sort of like your career has. And I had Daniel Negreanu's poker column. We were the first newspaper. It's the LA Times and us kind of started at the same time, but we actually did it before them to cover MMA on a regular basis. And, yep. And it was all to get younger readers. And then guess what they did when I left? They got rid of all of it. But that was one of the things I mentioned in the articles. I was most proud of bringing on Lance Zierlein.
No, I appreciate it, man.
And yeah, it was. I can't believe it's been 15 years and people still talk about that damn Tombstone. And
you know, well, two things, and I don't know. One of them may have been the Houston Post. I don't know, but who had the Choke City?
That was us.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. The two are Choke City and the Tombstone. Those are the two most recognizable headlines since I've been reading the newspapers for over the years of being in Houston. Those are the two. Those are the two. And the Tombstone just kind of woke a lot of teams. I guess you just really gave the Astros fuel because I know they saw it. They've mentioned it before.
Oh yeah. Lance Berkman called me an idiot. I remember it well. But I mentioned in the article that 10 years before we had done the Choke City headline, and it became a big deal. And I was thinking, hey, you know what? I thought all along if they turn this thing around, it's going to bring tons of attention to the newspaper. And I was right. So
sure enough, it happened the second time.
But it would have been so much better if they'd won the World Series that year.
You know what? Someone actually reached out to me and mentioned that headline today, that article about it being the 15-year anniversary, and said that he taped the show that John and I had that day and still has it, and said that it's, I think his name is James Maxey, I believe, and he said he still has that show that he taped where we actually did a funeral for the Astros season. It was like a wake for the Astros season that day when the Tombstone came out. I don't know if we did it. I mean, I barely remember it. I don't know if we did it as a joke to play along with the Tombstone, but my guess is we did it because that team stunk at that particular point.
They did. People forget that. And I do remember you guys doing that. And I don't know if you were riffing off it or if you just said, hey, this would be funny to do, but I remember listening to you guys that morning when you did it.
Oh, no, probably riffed off of, off with the Tombstone. I mean, I 100% played off of that.
Yeah, that's another thing I mentioned in the article. Back then, newspapers actually mattered. You guys would actually look at the newspaper for your show prep, but that was the old days.
Every single day, and you read the columnists, and it used to be, opinions were, you read columns to get your opinions, and now the way that sports is set up, and really news, really everything, is delivered with opinion first, and then just basic general facts come second.
Yeah, well, and I mentioned this before, I blame myself for this, because we started blurring the lines. When you have a guy like John McClain writing a column and then covering the team, and then it evolves into your opinion means more than what happened in the game. And unfortunately, people took that from sports into politics and everything else, and that's the world we live in now. And that was, in retrospect, that's a big regret in my career, was that we went down that path because it worked. And then it made it okay for people to do it in things that actually matter.
Yeah, and I think it really is something. The separation of opinion and fact is something that has been blurred, as you mentioned, and it really is a negative in society right now. I mean, it's a negative in sports in a general sense. It's a negative in politics. It's a negative in a lot of stuff. And now, social media just pushes it even more to where it's easier to blur lines and fool people. But with misinformation or alternate facts, quote unquote. But I think that is one of the things that's most disappointing to me. Not that you did this, not that with the Chronicle or just in general, that we can't just get facts out anymore. People use, and it's the same way with the data people, and the same way with the numbers and analytics. That is data, but there is, Daryl Morey taught me a word a few years ago. He accused me of data dredging, with Ryan Anderson when I was asking about Ryan Anderson shooting poorly away from home, shooting poorly at home but better away from home, and he said that was data dredging. I didn't even know what it meant. And he explained it's basically bringing up data that fits your narrative and working it around. Well, I didn't think that was to me that wasn't a good definition of what was going on with Ryan Anderson, because he really was struggling, continued to struggle throughout the year, and so the sample set size got a lot bigger. But even people who rely on data will leave certain bits of their data out so that they can strengthen their own opinion and narrative. So even the people who claim to be this is data, the numbers don't lie. Well, the numbers can be kind of tricky whenever you don't put them in context.
You know, it's funny because everybody does that, right? I didn't know it had a fancy name like data dredging. Of course, I also didn't know what Antifa was until the other day. But
did you not?
No, I had no idea.
Good for you.
But I just see it on Twitter occasionally, and it's like, I don't know what that is. And now I do. But everybody does that. Like, I can sit here, and we've been talking about Dak Prescott. You can make an argument about how good a season he has had based on yards and touchdowns and things like that.
Right.
And then I can take the stats that show he had 30 touchdown passes and no game-winning drives. His record against winning teams, or against playoff teams, I think they had one win. And I can take those, and we all do that in everything, right? If we're going to make a case for somebody, that's what we do. I didn't know it had a fancy name like data.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't either until Daryl told me I was doing that. But it also, it also speaks to the way that we create our opinions. We create an opinion, and then we go try to get facts.
Right.
Instead of absorbing data and then absorbing facts, sifting through it, and then creating our opinion off of all of the information we have in front of us. That's classic. That's how we do it. Now, shoot from the hip and then go try to find any information that suits your purposes. That's what Twitter and Facebook is about now. And that's
most talk radio, notwithstanding. We really try not to do that, but it happens. It's like, hey, I think this guy sucks. I'm going to go find the stats that back it up.
I mean, talk gamblers. Gamblers are the worst.
I have to deal with this in my job. I write up 500 players. 250 are going to be pretty inconsequential for the most part. But I'm going to miss. I'm going to hit some. I'm going to miss some. But you have to own it when you miss and not try to. Like, I want to be accurate. I don't strive to be right. I strive to be accurate. So I spend a bunch of time on players so I can be as accurate as I possibly can with my write-up, because I want to be accurate on the next level. And I don't spend time trying to, on sports radio, trying to be right. I want to be right. I want to be right. So I'm going to fit narratives, and I'm going to go find stats, and I'm going to argue. And most people will do that. I get that. But I don't want to do that. I want to strive to be better about saying, look, I put all my time and work in. And sometimes I will defend myself and I'll say, look, I don't see it the same way as you do. But if I do miss, like, I thought Dak Prescott would be a below average starter to a really good backup. And he's clearly been better than that. I don't think he's an elite quarterback. But I sold Dak Prescott short. So what I go do is I go back and find out, what was it that I missed on Dak? Like, how did I miss? What did I do wrong? Because I'm not trying to be right about it and try to formulate any. It's not like, okay, well, this is what I said would happen, and I'm going to look for every bit of information or every bit of thing, negative things that Dak Prescott does, so I can try to bolster myself. For what? I mean, who? For what? If you miss, you miss. It's okay. It's okay to be wrong in an argument. It's okay to say, my bad, I missed that one on a radio show. It's okay to say it with your wife. It's okay to say it.
It is.
Right now with what's going on in society, it's okay. The faster that you can just say, you know what, my bad, I screwed that up, the quicker you come to resolutions and the more people respect you. That's what I found. People respect other people. People respect other people who will say, you know what, I screwed this up and I own this. I'm going to own this one, even if it's something minor.
Jerry was bringing this up, but this data dredging thing, gamblers make that mistake all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You find stuff to back up your play.
You're not getting anyone off a play. Once they show you the numbers, they'll beat it into your head like, this is the play. Mm. These are the numbers, and you're not going to get them off them. So whatever perspective, whatever ticket you have, you believe that's the side. Let me ask you something else, though, Lance. And I don't even know what extremely preliminary stage of talks with Deshaun Watson means, how extremely preliminary it really is. But I saw an article come out, and it said basically that that things are going good, quoting Watson. It's definitely good. He's excited. He says basically that he trusts that the organization is going to do the right thing. And it kind of made me wonder, is that really the feeling in that locker room? Or is it just for the guys up top like Laremy Tunsil and Deshaun Watson that know they're going to get theirs now that everyone's gone? Or do you think he was just saying that to kind of, you know, put a little cushion on everything?
Well, so you know, Deshaun had his comment where he's subtweeting song lyrics, and we know that it's been a little uneasy. Deshaun may end up getting close to $40 million. I'm sure everything's good in that regard. J.J. Watt, his answers about everything, that struck me as maybe going a little bit the other way. And I, to be honest with you, Jerry, I really can't speak to the locker room. I'm not hearing anything, so I really don't know. But I can tell you that I had an agent tell me, agent doesn't have any quarterback clients, and he said these quarterback salaries are out of control, and what they're doing is they're hurting like guys like my guys who are middle class players who are getting, you know, the quarterbacks are actually taking money away from other players is what they don't necessarily do it on purpose, but what happens is they start pulling money from those guys to pay for the quarterback salaries, which have spiraled out of control very quickly. And what when guys like Bill O'Brien give Laremy Tunsil a deal that is $4 million higher per year than the best left tackle, it really screws a lot of people. And I know there's the idea that, oh, I want to see the players get paid and all this and that. Well, that's great, but when you escalate so quickly and there's not a gradual upping of what the number is supposed to be for a player, you reset. It's called resetting the market. When you reset the market, that now has an impact on other teams. It has an impact in your own locker room. So it's something to think about. That's why it's, you know, the Players Association always fights for players not to take bad deals or agents not to take bad deals. But at the same time, you know, the owners really on the flip side, from a checks and balances standpoint, for the health of their league, they have to fight for not having bad deals either. And in a weird way, there are agents who, you know, who believe that these quarterback deals, and really I think the Kirk Cousins deal was the one that really set this thing in motion, because you have an average, you have maybe a slightly above average quarterback, a guy who had good numbers, kind of a Matt Schaub type guy, good numbers, but you didn't feel like he could put a team on his back. All of a sudden, he gets paid this outrageous contract with all of it guaranteed. And so now people who are clearly above him in stature, oh, they've got a number, an easy number to shoot at, and they just want to shoot above it. And so I think the Vikings made a big, big mistake in giving Kirk Cousins that kind of deal. But he couldn't get a deal done in Washington. He took the double. You know, he played the game. Most players aren't willing to play the game where they take two consecutive franchise tags in a row, and all he did was he did it year by year, but he's making a ton of guaranteed money. So he's kind of, in a way, I think, responsible for some of these quarterback numbers we're seeing that I'm not sure, Jerry, it's going to make everyone happy. By the way, to the point that you guys are making, and you guys can appreciate this, I truly believe that my mindset about trying to just be accurate and not right and fight to be right comes 100% from my handicapping background, because you cannot get too emotional if you're a handicapper. You're going to get emotional about losing games or whatever, but every single day you have to put aside your biases about teams. You have to, if you want to have a chance to win at a good rate. You have to be willing to be honest about what you're seeing, and you can't have biases or it's hard to win. You know, you start eliminating certain teams from consideration, and that's never a good thing when you tighten the card up that much.
Yeah, and I honestly, when I'm looking at it, let's say it's a college football game, and I'm Memphis, Cincinnati, and I'm all over Memphis, and I'm looking at the numbers, I always go and find somebody who picked Cincinnati and we'll look over all the reasons that they did it. And just to make sure, I always want to know the other side. I want to know the opposite of what I'm thinking. And sometimes it might make me back off a bit, and sometimes it confirms what I already thought. It's like, yeah, this guy's looking at the same thing. He's just looking at it wrong.
Man, that's a great – I never thought about that, but that's a great idea. Did AJ get coronavirus? What's going on here?
Oh, no, he's doing his yearly trip to the river. He's floating around being drunk all the time.
Yeah, but that's just like a Wednesday.
But he actually went out of town to get drunk.
Oh, he went out of town and got on actual water. Oh, I got you.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, well, you need to get with my man Jerry here and get on this this little poker thing we got going. We're having a lot of fun with it.
Let me know. Are you still doing it online?
Well, yeah, we're doing a different one. He's got a private club set up now on Poker Bros.
I mean, the draft is over. You just got to let me know.
Yeah, well, there's tournaments every night. There's cash games every night. Just all you got to do is tell him you want in. So
Jerry, hit me up.
I'm going to hit you up.
All right, because I'd love to see Lance at the table. Seeing Jason Braddock at the table some nights.
Let Hatchet Man know as well.
Yeah. Hatchet Man. One Hatchet Man in there. An SEC guy. We got to get him signed up.
That's right.
All right.
Hatchet Man will play poker. I don't think SEC would got. He played like Pinochle or something like that. Hearts.
All right. That's Lance Erline. You can hear him on the bench every morning. Usually hangs around later than 9 o'clock, sometimes till 11, and which is always good when I'm driving around in the morning. I can listen to those guys. But
I'm till 10 now, Fred. I'm till 10 every day, and sometimes, like you said, until a lot later.
Well, good, because usually I've kind of had to jump the wife a little bit about going to work before 7 because I can't listen.
Yeah.
So I'm making her wait until 7 o'clock for me to drop her off so I can at least catch your shows. So that ought to tell you where I am.
That's perfect.
So
that's perfect.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
Good,
we'll talk to you soon.
We'll see you.
All right. Blaine says, can you have Jerry share the details on Poker Bros? I don't have Twitter. I think Twitter is the only way to get in touch with him, to be honest with you. So.
It's funny, the way you say, though, a handicapping, because that's a good way to take it. Look at what you have and then go see someone that's on the opposite side and see if it makes sense. And if you see that they're trying to explain the same point you are, but your handicap is really good, then you know that they're just on the wrong side. Now, if they're pulling out numbers that fight against you and you start thinking, well, I didn't even see that aspect. I didn't know my team was bad on that side or in that particular moment. That's a good way to look at things, Fred.
Yeah, and that comes from horse racing, where I always start with, you know, you never start with the impossible. Everything's possible. And then you narrow it down from there. Now, it's not serving me very well right now. I've been on a 2-week bad run on the horses. And really, I think part of it is Santa Anita's not playing the way that it usually does. And Churchill is, ever since Oaklawn ended, I've really struggled. Like, I killed Oaklawn. And then I did pretty well at Will Rogers Downs because that was all horses from Sam Houston and Oaklawn. And now that some of the other tracks are opening, I'm not really doing as well. So I'm going to back off and reevaluate a little bit and make another run at it. Now, Belmont's opening this week, which is a track I traditionally do very well at. But so many of those horses in New York haven't run in forever. And see, that's the thing I'm kind of running into is some of these layoff horses aren't doing very well. So I'm gonna back off a little bit and observe for a couple weeks. And then I do some shadow handicapping where I'll go and look, okay, this is my play for this race and see how it does. And when I start getting back to 30-40% on those, I'll start playing again. A lot of people asking how can they get in if they're not on Twitter? What would you tell them?
I got a dummy email. So use this BC, like boy, Charlie, EC, Edward Charlie, BCEC2020@yahoo.com. Send me an email, BCEC2020@yahoo.com, and I'll try to get you set up.
All right. There you go. Hey, Aaron, save that so when we get asked that 30 more times, we could just play it back. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz at ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Fred Fowler and Jerry Bow today. Hey, Aaron, can you put that TV on and see what the hell's going on in D.C. and so we can keep the people updated. Apparently, there's tear gas and stuff has been fired at protesters. Hey, want to learn guitar from the legend himself, John Levin? For more than two decades with Dokken, Levin has always been regarded as one of the best in the business. Register to win your free lessons now at ESPN975.com and learn directly from Levin how to play the best solos and leads of his career and others. This is a unique experience that will make you a better player simply by following along and taking the examples of a true guitar great. This is how old I am. I didn't realize it had been more than 20 years since George Lynch was a guitarist in Dokken. Now, I know Lynch Mob's been around for a while, but yeah, that's just goes to show that I'm old. All right, we'll keep you guys up to date on this once we find out a little more. But let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, I like crazies. It's kind of a thing. And Kevin Woods is a crazy. He's from County Louth in Ireland. And he runs a Last Leprechauns of Ireland tour business. However, he says he doesn't need to work for money because he, quote, has access to the leprechaun's gold. He claims there are just 236 of the mythical creatures left. And he has been the custodian of them for many years. Said there were millions of them here in Ireland, and they all died apart from 236 of them, he said. I wish I could do a really good Irish accent. I can't. I'm really the custodian of them and their lives, and I've been doing that since I got them a protected species. He has even helped lobby Ireland's politicians to getting leprechauns protected by EU law in 2019. And he also says the leprechauns have no problem with being locked down in lockdown at the moment. He hosts mythical creature tours and explains that although others are unable to see the leprechauns, they reveal themselves to him and communicate through an out-of-body experience. That's a pretty good scam, right? No one else can see the leprechauns, but I can.
What is he smoking?
I don't know, but I want some.
Because this is, I mean, leprechauns? This is where we're at now? The yeah. Leprechaun Whisperer.
Yeah, but apparently they're invisible to everyone but him. So I'm willing to try his drugs to see a leprechaun. Now, you know what's going to happen. He's just going to get a little person in a suit and trot him out there. That doesn't work. I mean, I want an actual leprechaun.
What? That's not going to work for you?
No. Well, I mean, it depends if she's hot. But, you know, I have a thing for that. But, you know, I just kind of crazy. So somebody said Walmart in Pearland just closed its doors at 6 p.m. due to potential rioting. I would say peaceful protests are okay, but if I can't go to Walmart, wow. Man, everybody be safe. The stuff's getting ugly, man. It's getting ugly. It was already ugly. And we were talking about this before. When does it end? When they arrest the other officers? Will that do it? I don't know.
I hope so, and that's what we're waiting on. I don't know if I'm thinking it would have took a little bit of the edge off if you at least would have known, hey, all those four officers are in jail right now. I think that's what has people even more mad, and they want to see that happen. But once that happens, if everyone keeps up against protesting, then I don't know what's going to stop it. That's why I asked you how long, how many days was the Rodney King protest?
I don't remember exactly how long it lasted, but it was days. And there was some scary images from that I'll never forget. There was a truck driver that got pulled out of his truck that they beat the crap out of. There was a scene outside a convenience store where there were two Asian guys firing Glocks at rioters. I mean, it was the ugliest time I can remember in this country for something like this. And I honestly missed all the stuff in the 60s. I grew up in a year where they segregated the schools. I was in kindergarten, so I never knew that there was segregation or any of that until later. And it's funny because I was reading a tweet that Jay Adonde sent out, and I don't follow him, but my friend Blair retweeted it. And he sent out a tweet that from someone else that said, were you taught about the Tulsa race massacre in your American high school? And 96% said no. I knew nothing about that. And she says, I'm 35. I'm embarrassed to say I learned this was a real thing from the show Watchmen on HBO. I'm 55 and I learned the same thing. I had never heard anything about it. That's pretty embarrassing.
I'm embarrassed now because I don't know about it.
Yeah. So, El Frodo says it's over till all four of them are found guilty. Well, that's a long wait, man. That's going to be like, oh, we can come back out when they have a cure for the Rona.
Or he's under arrest, but there's a, what, $500,000 bail or bond? I mean, what, 10%, $50,000? Mm. That doesn't do it as well. I know that once I saw the, I read the first part of it, once I got to the end of that sentence, it's just still set in my stomach as, wow, he can get out for X amount of dollars. There should be no bond, no bail. He has to sit it out. That's what should happen.
713 said, I heard you mention Walmart. I could have swore you said Pearland. That's what the texter said. I'm just passing it on. Dan 281 has a really good point. You think this is bad? Wait till they find him not guilty. If I'm not mistaken, that's what that caused the Rodney King riots, was that all those cops were found not guilty. And it was so weird because, again, now everybody gets everything on video, but they had that on video and they slowed it down frame by frame and the cops explained what they were doing. And in slow motion, you're looking at it going, wow, I kind of get what they're saying, but it wasn't in slow motion. It was in real time and they were beating the crap out of the guy. Yeah, that was the, you know, the worst thing that I could remember. Rico said that dude is smoking absinthe. When you drink it, you see fairies. When you smoke it, you see leprechauns. Okay, I'm gonna have to try that then.
You've never had absinthe?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you know what absinthe is?
I know of the drink absinthe.
Yeah, me too. I've never smoked it, but yeah, in Tijuana years ago, I was given some of two shots of absinthe right when we crossed the border and got over to TJ, and the guy didn't even tell me that. Shortly after, I felt like I needed to go use the restroom. I'm in there, and the tiles on the floor started becoming one. It became water-like, and at that point, I stood up, still needing to use the restroom, and you can just, I mean, I'm like, oh, what the? And then I could hear somebody laughing, which he was outside waiting because he knew I was about to, you know, realize I was tripping out. Mm. So, yeah, try it.
Yeah, same guy says, yes, Pearland Walmart is store off 288 and 518 closing. So, yeah, it's, man, I don't know what to say other than I just refer you back to the first two segments of the show. And just from my perspective, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut and I'm not going to worry about whether I piss people off or not with my opinions, because I'm going to just try to do something. If something comes up where I can make a difference, I'm going to do it. But that's just me. And, you know, I think we all need to just realize that, you know, we're all in the same world, and let's try to listen to each other and work together and not, you know, not be so judgmental about stuff. Okay, regardless, that was your Sad Dog Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Sad Dog Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Kind of an unrelated note. We mentioned, we talked a little baseball earlier, and Jake's a lot more optimistic now because of this latest proposal. I actually wrote a column that was going to go Wednesday, and it got posted today about how baseball needs to shut the bleep up and do this behind closed doors. Well, MLS came out with a deal today. Everybody's taking pay cuts. They're looking at a World Cup-style tournament, which would be great. You get some soccer. It'll all be in Orlando. So that got done. NBA seems to be getting closer and closer. Now, we're getting some of that leaking out, but it's not the vitriol you're getting with baseball. And I mentioned even the NHL, which has the worst commissioner in all of the sports, you're not getting all this guys fighting in public.
Now, that rule, that setup that they're trying to do, it's the one that you spoke of, the World Cup style. I like it for soccer, for example, but for, let's say, basketball, a sport that has series, whenever you get to that next round, because, okay, how does this work? They break you up in groups of, say, four. Everyone plays each other, and then the top two teams advance. So then what happens after that? You'll have team of 1A play against 2B, and 1B play against 2A. So single elimination, that's the way it works. And it'd be a weird world to see basketball as single elimination. Don't get me wrong, I like it, but
I actually wrote a column a couple of weeks ago suggesting that. And basically, you would take 20 teams. You play a round robin. Everybody plays. You have four, five-team divisions. And the bottom team in each one's out. Then you're down to single elimination with 16. How cool would that be to have an NBA tournament with single elimination?
It'd be a thriller. That's because sometimes in the NBA series, especially early in the playoffs, they're a waste. You know what I mean? When you go up that, you know a team's going to go up 3-0, then 4-0, and then that long layoff. Sometimes teams don't play for 10, 12 days because they're waiting on their opponent. I hate that. I'd like to see it go down, and I don't know what happens going forward. But as far as for money, this makes the most sense. You get the most games. You get to rotate. Everyone gets to be seen, and no teams are playing for nothing bringing the season back and having them play it out and having the Blazers go up there and play for nothing. I don't like that.
Yeah, this way, and My big picture plan was that hockey would do the same thing, and you would alternate days. Like Monday would be NBA, Tuesday would be hockey, Wednesday would be NBA. And that way you have these two things going on at the same time. Think about the three-week stretch of sports, how awesome that would be for us as fans to go from one to the other. And I think you get to the championship, you could do a best two or three even and kind of deviate a little bit. But having single elimination to get there?
Oh, it'd be thrilling. Every night you'd just be on the edge of your seat, and it'd go quick. You wouldn't have to wait it out. And I know you're not an asterisk guy, but do any of these have an asterisk? If later on in history, are we going to look back and be like, man, they won that, but that was on a that was on a World Cup-style tournament. People won't believe us.
That's my column last week was bleep the asterisks, because which I just think it's time to it's a sports cliche. It's time to retire it. Because that's what everybody was doing last week. Oh, well, they deserve an asterisk if it's not a full 7-game series for a championship for the NBA. Hell no. This is more difficult. Whatever they come up with is going to be more difficult than a regular season and winning the most games and then going in the playoffs. These guys are going to been gone for a month. Half of James Harden is gone, apparently. So who knows?
The only thing that needs an asterisk in history books is just 2020, the year itself. Whenever we look back, oh, we're going to see an asterisk, 2020.
Of course, you're talking to a guy who was declared fantasy hockey champ because the season's over and I had the best record, which I've had many times and never been able to win in the playoffs. So, no, there is no asterisk on my title.
Be proud, Falcon.
MVP, Austin Matthews, thank you. Team effort. Very proud. No asterisks. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN. Nice and fun.
So it's told. You will find my pot of gold.
ESPN 97.5.